In 2017, I think I just want to keep on keeping on. I mean, I have been making steady but slow progress on my debt and improving my savings. And, you know, other than that, to be completely honest, I'm not in that big of a hurry because I know that sounds completely backwards of a lot of people in our community.
No, it's not fine.
But I'm not in a hurry about it because I know it's going to happen. It's just a point of when.
Welcome to Michelle is Money Hungry, formerly known as Girl Gone Frugal Again. You're probably wondering, why did I change the name? Well, to be honest, I wasn't really talking about frugal living. I love frugal life. I love frugal topics. I will be sharing and covering those on the show. But the name I loved, but it wasn't a good fit for what I was doing. Also, my website is called Michelle is Money Hungry. So I felt like it just created a continuity in branding that was really important as I move into 2018, growing my brand and really growing the podcast. So my goal is to really get this podcast going, get people listening, have really good substantive conversations, and help a lot of people with those conversations. I hope it wasn't too confusing to you, but I actually think most of the people who are currently subscribed know what I'm doing, know who I am, and so it probably wasn't a surprise to you. I will probably, for the next couple of episodes, just remind people that Michelle is Money Hungry was previously Girl Gone Frugal Again. Same content, though. We'll be talking about personal finance, online entrepreneurship, debt, debt repayment, all kinds of things with money, obviously, because I just mentioned personal finance, as well as lifestyle topics, kind of a range of things that I am interested in and are covered on the blog. I am so excited to share this week's episode. I think that this person's amazing. It's a little embarrassing, though, because technically we may have recorded this episode a year ago. But I think it's great that I'm sharing this episode now because this person's progress really connects with the idea of small, sustained actions over time create big success. Kayla Sloan has been killing it online, growing her business, growing her brand, and in 2017 made over $100,000. She just hustled like a ninja, provided amazing service, diversified what her income was. And it's so interesting sharing an episode that we recorded before the year and seeing what her results were. And I hope you enjoyed this episode as much as I enjoyed recording it. I do remember it being a really fun conversation. Please do make sure that you subscribe to the show. I'll include a link in the show notes. She is also selling a course on how to become a VA. So I think it's called 10,000. Actually, I don't know the name. but it will be shared in the show notes. So if you're looking to become a VA, make 10,000 a month. She talks about the steps that she took in order to make that happen. So I will have that in the show notes. So I hope you're having a great day. Enjoy the show.
Welcome, welcome, everyone, girls and gents, guys and ladies. I don't know where I'm going with this. I sound like I'm a busker at a big top. What do you call it? What is that? Fair? No, carnival. Anyway, I'm really excited to have today's guest, who is awesome. She is also a podcaster, a fellow personal finance writer and blogger, and she is self-employed, or I'd like to say an entrepreneur as well. Kayla, introduce yourself.
Hi, I'm really excited to be with you. So thank you for inviting me to be on your show, Michelle. I'm really excited. As Michelle said, I have a podcast of my own. I have my own blog, and I started freelance writing and quit my job to do that full time. So it's been an interesting journey, and I'm really excited to be here. And I have to tell you, this is actually only my second time being a guest on a podcast.
What the what?
Yep.
Oh, no. See, we got to get you out there. You're awesome. And your story is very inspiring. So what I'd like to do first is just ask you kind of the standard question, or what will be my standard question for a lot of my guests, which is, how did you get into blogging? Like, how did that start for you?
Yeah, so I actually started blogging in December 2013, so almost 3 years ago. And wow. I had just graduated from college about 6 months before, and I had started a job, and my student loan payments just kicked in, and I was just feeling really stressed about money. And I wasn't even able to like sleep through the night because I was like so worried about whether or not my bank account was going to be negative the next morning when I woke up.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And I was using my credit cards for everything. I mean, even groceries and, you know, gas and necessities and stuff, because I didn't have any money in my checking account. Got to the point where I just, like I said, I couldn't sleep. So I got up and I was Googling things about money, like, and I came across personal finance blogs, and they were so inspiring to me.
How did you go from reading them to actually deciding to write one?
So some of the first ones I found were like very debt-focused personal finance blogs, and it was people who were still in debt, and they were telling their stories about and sharing their numbers about, you know, this is how much money I made, this is how much I put towards debt, here's how much further I have to go. And then, you know, that wasn't all of their posts, but some of them were focused on those numbers. And to me, that was inspiring because they were sharing it as it happened in real time. So I was really, you know, inspired by that and thought, okay, I'm going to start a blog. And I did it anonymously so that I can just keep track of my numbers. And it'll be somebody that holds me accountable, hopefully, if somebody reads it. And then that way, it won't be just me trying to do it by myself.
Did that work? Like, was the process of blogging helpful to you? Did it make a difference in your journey?
Yeah, it's definitely changed my life completely. And although I still have debt to pay off and I'm still working on that side of my finances, I feel like it's just completely changed my life and my finances for the better.
In what way? And actually, before we move further, what is the name of your blog? Because we didn't mention that yet.
Yeah, I blog over at shoeaholicnomore.com. And then I also have my podcast, which is hosted on a different site because there's a couple of us that do it together, and it's called financialconversation.com.
Could you kind of do a brief rundown on the different types of debt that you found yourself in and kind of the process of getting into debt? Like, what was it, just a lack of financial information, income issues, or was it just a mix of everything and it became a perfect storm?
Yeah. So at the time I had credit card debt around $10,000. I had just taken on a mortgage because I couldn't find anywhere to rent in my hometown. And my mortgage is about $120,000 when I was 21 years old,
wow,
fresh out of college. Yeah. And my student loan was about $8,000 or $9,000. So it was because I got married really young, and I actually ended up getting divorced, and that's when a lot of my financial problems started because I was still working full time during college and trying to pay the bills by myself, and my income wasn't very high, but I also had like emotional shopping issues that contributed to a lot of my debt.
How did you manage the emotion behind the shopping? One of the things that I discovered doing my year-long no shopping challenge, mm-hmm, was that a lot of my shopping was emotional versus like need-based, and that I had certain triggers. So how did you identify like why you were shopping, and how did you manage the situation so you could get on top of it?
I didn't really realize I was emotionally, you know, I was shopping just for the emotional aspect of things until a couple years later. And it was after I started my blog that I really dug into that and realized that that was why I was spending money and buying things I didn't really need. And I still really like to shop, so sometimes it's still a struggle for me. But I think the biggest thing for me at the time was I was spending out of loneliness, and I was spending out of fear of not keeping up with the people around me. And when I got my job out of college, I felt like I had to have, and I felt like I had to have all the same things that my coworkers had, even though they've been working for years longer than I have and had a better income because they'd been working for 20 years. And so I just felt that pressure to keep up with them, even though, you know, my earnings were a lot less.
What would you say began the turnaround after you started blogging? So you've been blogging for a while. You're starting to kind of think about all these things. Was there like a, I hate to say it this way, but was there a come to Jesus moment where you're like, this isn't working?
I went out to lunch with one of my friends, and this was like right before I started my blog. I'd already been reading personal finance blogs, but I hadn't started one. And my credit card was denied because I was over my credit limit, and it was only like a $10 purchase, and I couldn't afford it.
Oh, what did your friend do? Like, were they aware of that happening, or were they oblivious? You know how like sometimes you go to buy something and someone's standing away from you, so you can kind of play it off? Like, were they aware that had just happened?
She knew my card was declined, but she didn't know it was like because of being over the limit. Luckily, the cashier was like pretty subtle about it, and since I had actually ran into issues with my card being declined before because of like traveling and things like that, and my bank not, you know, knowing that it was me, that's what she assumed it was. So luckily she was like, oh, I got this time, you can treat me to lunch next time, you know.
Wow.
And so she didn't really say anything, but I'm pretty sure I was just like flustered the whole rest of the time we were eating, because I'm like, oh my god, what am I gonna do?
What type of, can I ask kind of generally, what type of work were you doing at that time, and how did your blogging affect your current career decisions? Because that's the next part of what I would love to talk about.
So I was actually, ironically, working in lending. I worked at an agricultural lender. So we loaned money to farmers.
I'm sorry, I'm laughing so hard, but it's a little ironic.
I know, right? And the crazy thing is they checked your credit score before you worked there to like make sure that you didn't have like a bankruptcy on your record, and, you know, to have like a corporate credit card and stuff. It's kind of crazy.
Wow. I'm just, it's funny how we can be in the financial services field, but still not maybe be financially set enough to really be in the field, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm, right.
You're working, you know, in lending, and then you're now doing something different. So I kind of want to ask you what the trajectory was from doing what you were doing before to what you're doing now. So kind of walk us through what you're doing now and how you ended up making the decision to do that.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've always been like a pretty creative person. And when I graduated college, there weren't a ton of jobs in the field that I wanted to go into, which was actually communications specifically for the agricultural field. And so I wanted to work in ag communications, and there wasn't any jobs. So I took this job working in lending, and I pretty much hated it, to be honest. It was just, it's a lot of number crunching, and it was just not very creative, you know, same thing day in and day out. So I just didn't feel creatively stimulated. And then when I started my blog, it really fulfilled that for me.
You're now doing something different. How did you go from the blog to what you're doing now? Like, what was the, how did you make that transition?
So a few months after I started blogging, I actually had someone approach me and ask if I had ever considered doing freelance writing. And I was like, so you're going to pay me to write down my thoughts and feelings. That sounds pretty good to me. So I was like, sure. And basically I just got started with that one lead and used that client to help me get others, you know, through referrals and building out a portfolio and things like that, so that eventually I actually haven't had to pitch a client in over a year. I get almost all of my clients through referrals.
And what is it you do, though? Be really explicit, because I think there's some people who still, they're thinking you just blog and that you blog for people. But be really clear. What is it that you do that makes money online? Because listeners, part of the reason why I'm pushing her is she no longer works for this lending company. She now works for herself. So I'm trying to tell us what you do. What is it?
Okay, so about a year after that is when I was able to quit my job to work for myself, and now I offer freelance writing services for mostly corporate blogs. All these financial companies that have people that write on their websites, I'm one of those people.
And does that make sense? It does, but so I know you personally, which is why I'm kind of pulling more teeth here. So you don't just write for blogs. You do a couple of other services as well.
You're right.
Let's talk about the other things that you do too.
In addition to writing, I also offer other things such as social media management. So I'll help people with their Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, you know, Instagram, all of those good things. And then I also just basically offer organizational services. Okay, I call it project management or blog management, but basically I just keep people organized. I make sure that they get their stuff done when it's supposed to be done and it looks pretty.
Has it been an easy transition? Are you enjoying what you do? And now that you've got this roster of clients, are you able to raise your rates? How do you go about sustaining your business? I think it's awesome because you're getting referrals. Like, you're not having to really get out there. People are coming to you, which is huge.
Right.
But moving forward, is your goal to continue offering services like this, or are you going to look into passive income? Like, what's your goal for 2017 professionally?
I think you need to be my business coach, because these are some of the things that I've been pondering over myself, actually.
Okay.
Yeah, you're catching me here. I'm kind of at this crossroads, but I plan to move more toward things that are credited instead of so behind the scenes, because at some point, yes, I would like to build my own brand so that I can have that passive income.
When you think about how you're living now versus before, are you surprised by it? And what's the biggest difference?
The biggest difference, do you mean financially or lifestyle?
Anything, everything.
Yeah, well, I make a lot more money than I used to make, and yet somehow I still am not as far along in my debt journey as I'd like to be. So that's something that's kind of interesting and surprising. The good thing is I never have to get dressed, so that's nice.
Why do you think you're not as far along in your debt freedom journey as you thought you would be or would like? If you're making more money, what are some of the barriers to debt elimination, if you will, with the obvious one, I'm sure, being taxes? But is it just getting used to cash flow and managing the taxes? Or what is it, do you think, is kind of holding up the process of getting it done?
I think part of it is I see how much money comes in, and then it's sometimes hard because I have business expenses, obviously, that come out of it before I pay myself. And then I also have to save for taxes, and then I also have to provide benefits for myself because I no longer have retirement accounts, health insurance, you know, all of those types of things. But I think the biggest thing for me is that even though my take-home pay is bigger, I still sometimes struggle with shopping, and I think that's something that everyone does, you know, no matter, you know, you can try to fix your habits, and I totally think people can change, but I think there's always going to be that underlying want and desire to do the things that we've always done.
I'm a natural spender. I mean, honestly, Kayla, I am a natural spender, and even though it's funny because I'm a very frugal person and I stock up on things and I'm able to do all kinds of fun stuff for free, but honestly, I'm a natural spender. And so it is a daily process of checking in with myself, and I'm a little bit of a hippie. So what happens is now that I work for myself, one of the big things that and I didn't really go into this deeply, I mentioned that I'm looking to change some of the things that I'm doing going into 2017. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I discovered about myself is I do really well when I'm super busy. Like, I'm one of those people who can rock out like 75 different projects and just kill it. Like, if I have a lot of tasks, I can just focus and go. If I don't have a lot on my plate, for whatever reason, because I'm not going out there hustling for it, or just it's a slow season, whatever, I tend to go hiking. I'll go for coffee on a patio. Like, I will mellow out. And so one of the hard things to learn was that unfortunately, that just won't work right now. Like, it's one, I'm too young to mellow out like that. It's not time to be that relaxed in my career and in my life. But two, I have debt goals that I'm trying to reach and professional goals that I'm trying to reach. And I kind of feel like there was a certain amount of tension, especially for people who leave their jobs. There's a certain amount of stress and tension that you deal with before you leave a job. Like, you don't leave a career that's stable and safe without there being problems or issues or things going on. And so for me, I had to really take time to like decompress and get back into my head and feel like myself. And now I'm like, I am ready to rock and roll. And it could literally be like, you could literally be dealing with that residual energy from going from being employed and all that safety that goes with it to being this awesome rock star entrepreneur, but there's still that tension of you are you. And I had to kind of acknowledge that. Like, there's certain, I am who I am. And because of that, I have to give myself a little bit of a break, but always kind of watch out for the things that trip me up, like my triggers.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that being aware of your triggers and being aware of what can trip you up is huge, especially as you transition into the next phase of your career. So what do you think of for 2017? Like, what do you have, like a financial goal or a travel goal? Or when you do think about it, what are your thoughts?
In 2017, I think I just want to keep on keeping on. I mean, I have been making steady but slow progress on my debt and improving my savings. And, you know, other than that, to be completely honest, I'm not in that big of a hurry, because I know that sounds completely backwards of a lot of people in our community.
No, it's not fine.
But I'm not in a hurry about it, because I know it's going to happen. It's just a point of when.
Do you ever get pushback from people who read your blog and they're like, why aren't you doing it faster? Like, do you ever get feedback like that?
I used to, and I think they finally were just like, whatever, I'm giving up on that girl. Which is fine by me. I'm not giving up on me. You know I'm going to get there. I don't prioritize it as much as as much as other people do. And that's fine, because I think there's a different way for everybody. So, you know, my audience is probably going to be the people that are natural spenders and that want to improve their finances anyway, but still, you know, enjoy the things they enjoy.
When people ask you about going into online business, what are the things that you tell them? Like, what's your advice about working for yourself?
My advice about working for yourself, you have to be very intentional about making sure that you can swing it financially before you do it. If you're leaving a financially secure job, you need to make sure you have something in place as a backup. You know, that's my biggest thing.
So when you quit, I feel like you were doing both your job and you had built up a nice clientele before you left.
Yeah. I feel like I didn't follow my own advice in the sense that I didn't have a giant emergency fund. I actually did mine differently. I had clients that were on a retainer basis, so I really wasn't leaving for an unstable income. I mean, they pay every 2 weeks the exact same amount, just like a job.
Oh. What is the one thing that you would tell people not to do?
Oh, if they're gonna quit? Michelle, you're putting me on the spot here.
That's why I do these. It's so interesting to hear what people have to say.
It is. Let's see what not to do. I think don't underestimate how much you need, because when you're self-employed, like I kind of mentioned earlier, you have business expenses, you have to provide benefits for yourself, you have to fund your own retirement, you have to pay your own taxes. And I think a lot of people forget that, okay, just because I'm earning the same amount that I take home from my day job with my business, I can go ahead and quit my job today. That's not really true. You need to be earning more from your business than what you are at your job because of all those other expenses.
What is the best thing about working for yourself?
Besides not having to get dressed, I'd say the other best thing about working for myself is that there's no limit to how much I can earn.
If you were to do it all over again, what would be the one thing you would change?
I think I'd start with a more professional image in the beginning. because I didn't start my blog to make money, which is fine. You know, I started it as my personal journey, and it still pretty much is. I mean, I make a little bit from my own site itself, but not much. But I think I probably would choose a different URL because it's just a mouthful. And, you know, so somebody who's thinking about blogging, I would just do your name, because then it can be anything you want. It can grow and evolve as you grow and evolve.
It's so funny because soon I'll be writing a blog post about the name of my blog. And I struggle with it because people don't naturally intuit that it's about using what you already have, even though the tagline says use what you have. Mm-hmm. But I've vowed that I won't change the name until I'm debt free. And so, which a lot of people don't know, you're the first to hear that. And so, because actually I love my blog and I love the name, but I'm like, no one gets the name, which is drives me crazy. I don't quite understand that. I'm like, shop your closet, you know, like use what you, I've had one person come up to me and automatically know what it meant.
Mm-hmm.
One person. And I'm like, how is that even possible? But that is what it is. And so I've wanted to change the name for a while, but I'm like, you know what? This is connected to a part of my journey, and that's debt freedom. And until I'm debt free, I don't think it's time to change the name. But it definitely has made things, I think, difficult because it's hard for people to remember. Mm-hmm. So I have friends, dear friends, who have a hard time even saying what the name of my blog is. So I feel you on that one, because I didn't start blogging to monetize my blog. I started blogging because I was sharing my story.
Exactly. So
that was it. But I never thought it would take this long to even finish my story, this chapter of my story. But at the same time, I really appreciated you talking about you taking your time to do what you need to do, and in terms of debt repayment. And I kind of feel like sometimes people will judge you unfairly or harshly. And it's like, look, this is my life. This is my energy. This is, you know, my connections with people. This is about me. And for me, when I quit my job, I was burnt out. So even if I stayed in my old job and I was making good money and had great benefits, if I stayed for another 5 years, I'd be about another 60, 70 pounds heavier, because I'd gained 50 pounds by the time I quit, I'd gained 50 pounds in 10 years. I was shopping all the time. I was having a break. I was breaking down physically, because I was so stressed out, and then I was spending money. So it took a while to like even come down from that mental space to even be able to figure out, well, what are my habits? What are my triggers? What is it that, why is it that I keep making the same mistakes? And so it's been a year and a half, almost 2 years since I quit. And honestly, I'm just now mentally there to be like, let's get this shit done, pardon my French, you know. And it's because I'm human and I have stuff that I'm dealing with, and I think that people sometimes are very, people can be really hard on people. I'm like, you have not walked in my shoes. You don't know what I've been dealing with. You don't know what's going on with me. And instead of celebrating that Kayla is happy and living a healthy life and managing what she needs to manage, they're getting on you about doing what's best for you. And so to me, that makes me crazy. It's like crazy.
Yeah. I feel like in general, the personal finance community is very welcoming and very helpful. But I do think there are a few people that kind of take it to the extreme, and great for them. I'm super happy that they can do that. But I know that that's not the way for me. And if I did do that, all I would do is take one step forward and 14 steps back. When I go crazy from, you know, trying to be too frugal. I think there is a place where you can be too frugal. You know, I'm a lot more frugal than I used to be, but I don't want to take it to the extreme that I know I'm going to set myself back.
Right. We're wrapping up this lovely, amazing, fabulous podcast interview. And I think my question to you is, when you think of when you were a little kid and you were thinking about what you would be when you grew up, did you ever imagine that this would be something you could do, to work for yourself, to manage your expenses, to just be so self-sufficient? And what do you think young Kayla would say about this turn of events?
This is a fun question. I think she would not be surprised that I'm doing something creative, because when I was a kid, I loved writing stories. I made my own family newspaper, and I, like, printed it off and sent it to everyone, all my aunts and uncles and my grandparents. So I don't think that part would surprise her. But I think young Kayla might be surprised at how independent I turned out. And I think it's for the best. You know, it's a good thing. It's not anything bad. That was a good one.
For listeners who would like to reach out to you, follow your story, or listen to your podcast, which I really enjoy, by the way, again, if you could let people know where to find you, your social media, that would be awesome.
Yes. You can find my blog at shoeaholicnomore.com, and my podcast is at financialconversation.com. I'm also on Facebook. You can find my pages on there under the same name. And then my Twitter handle is at shoeaholicnomo, because there wasn't enough characters.
Thank you so much for joining me today. I love following your story. I think it's very similar to mine in a lot of ways. I'm always supporting you in whatever you do. I do believe that 2017 is really going to surpass your wildest dreams. And I actually do think you're going to reach debt freedom much faster than you may imagine. I think that there's just a period of time when you get used to what you're doing and then you accelerate the success. So here's to accelerating the success, an amazing 2017, and I can't wait to have you come back and talk about what is going on and what has happened later on in the new year.
That would be great. Thank you so much, Michelle. I really appreciate it.